This session really complements yesterday's session, which was given by Barbara Haney and Sandy Lucas on Aleche League on the web and just getting information sources from the web and the problems and challenges of doing that. If you weren't here yesterday, they prepared several good handouts, which are in the technology room. But many times when you want to search the literature or you need information, the best place to go is right to the primary literature, the original research, and that's the focus of my talk today. And that's why I prepared this booklet, A Guide to Searching Medline. Now, if you know somebody else who'd like copies of this, or if you lose your copy, I have this mounted on my website. Now, since this session is being recorded, I will just spell out the website for the people who aren't here. It's http://mail.sci.ccny.cuny.edu/tilde/PHIBARN. The tilde is the symbol on your keyboard, usually toward the top left. And when you go to the site, you'll see links to this handout. I have it mounted in Microsoft Word and in PDF. If you just come in, you can take a booklet, which are on the chair in the corner here. Now, we have a small enough group and I have enough time that we can keep this kind of informal. If you have any questions, any comments, or you think you need any clarifications at any time, just speak loud enough so it can go into the microphone, and let me know. Now, the best place to search for information, for medical information, again, talking about the primary research literature, is a database called Medline. Now, this is an electronic database that covers nearly all the world's literature in the fields of medicine. Toward the end, I'll talk about what it may not cover, but it's fairly complete. It also covers a lot of things related directly to medicine, like nursing, dentistry, a lot of animal science, preclinical sciences, and even a lot of basic biology. It goes back to the mid-1960s, and the nice feature about Medline is that from 1975 to the present, almost all of the articles have abstracts, which makes it a lot easier to evaluate whether or not you want to get hold of the paper. The only real competitor to Medline, now Medline is free, anytime for the whole world. The only competitor to Medline is a database called Excerpta Medica. It's also known as Embase. This is produced by the publisher Elsevier in Holland, and this is a fairly expensive product. In fact, it's very expensive if you use it a lot. That covers the literature from 1974 to the present. But like in any field, in any kind of database searching, whenever there are two similar databases, there'll never be 100% overlap. There may be things in there which are not in Medline. But you have to be willing to pay for it. But again, if it's really important, it is in Medline. Now, as far as accessing Medline, all you need is access to the World Wide Web. And I've listed the URL on this handout. It's just easy to know. It's just www.nlm.nih.gov. Medline is produced by the National Library of Medicine, which is part of the National Institutes of Health and this government organization. And unfortunately, I don't have the slide here, but when you go into that site, you're going to the home page of the National Library of Medicine. And you will see two buttons to click for Medline. One says Medline PubMed. That's the database you're going into. On the same page is something with a similar name. It's called Medline Plus. It really has nothing to do with Medline. I wish they had used a different name. Medline Plus is a collection of consumer information and information for the layman. Now, you can also get into Medline by just typing pubmed.gov directly. But I always recommend going to the National Library of Medicine's homepage, simply because if you use Medline infrequently, you may get Medline Plus and PubMed mixed up a little bit, so you'll see the distinction right there. Also, if there's anything new happening at the National Library of Medicine, you'll see it at their page. Okay, if you just came in, there are booklets over here on the front chair. Now we're on page one of your booklet. And when you go into PubMed, you will see this opening screen. And what you can simply do is just type your search in the search box and click on Go. And you'll usually get an answer. But it really pays to know a little bit about Medline, how it's organized, and you can be a much more efficient searcher. I think one of the best ways to see what Medline is like is just to look at the sample record. This is what I have on page 2. You can look at all the information that's taken from the original journal article and put on the database. It's not all of the information, but it's a lot of the important information. You have the authors, even the author's address, the citation to the journal, the abstract, which is there almost all the time. Then you have index terms. These are aspects of the whole article which are brought out and listed. I'll talk more about that later.
May I ask a question?
Sure.
We were looking at PubMed yesterday, and the index terms did not come up. How did you get them to show?
I will talk about that later. It doesn't show in the default display.
Okay.
Because it is something that you want to see sometime. Anyway, anything that's on this page, on this sample record, is searchable. Most of the time you're searching, just you're doing a subject search, or you're interested in the title, the abstract, and the index term, which I'll explain how to search later. One thing that is not here is the full text of the journal articles. If you've ever read the journal literature, a lot of information is presented, especially in the discussion sections of journals where the authors organize their work, they do some speculation and compare it to other studies. That is not searchable. So it's one of the limitations of doing this kind of search. One thing about the index terms is that they are standardized, which is very different from searching the abstract. Again, I'll distinguish these two different ways of searching in a few minutes. Now, when you're doing a Medline search, even though you're searching almost all the medical literature, don't expect it to be a panacea and a cure-all for all your information needs. Ask yourself, how much of your knowledge, and I'm sure you all have a lot of knowledge, how much of it is actually published in the journal literature? How much did you pick up from other sources? Sometimes there is no substitute for either being an expert or consulting with one. The medical literature often complements what you already know. Now, when you do a Medline search, sometimes you get many references on the subject. Sometimes you get a few, sometimes only one, and sometimes nothing at all. These are all, and when you get these different numbers, you have to decide what you're going to do. Now, when you're searching, and you do get a lot of articles, sometimes you will see a consensus, especially with the abstracts. You know, abstracts these days are written fairly comprehensively. And sometimes you can almost answer your information needs just by scanning down the abstracts, especially when they agree with each other. Again, if you've just come in, there are booklets, there are handouts here on the chair on the left.
Can you turn the mic up just a little bit?
I'll try to bring it closer. Okay. Is that better?
Thank you.
And just to give you an example of a search where you'll get a lot of information but no consensus, it'll be a fairly simple search, the effect of salt and stomach cancer. A little background behind this. In certain parts of the world, certain cancers are more common than other parts of the world. I think that in the past, I don't know about the present too much, but in Japan, stomach cancer is fairly common, and it's a high salt diet. So some people were looking for that connection. And this is a search I did on page 4. It looks a little complicated here, and I'll go over these steps in more detail later. You can just type salt and stomach cancer, and you get a lot of articles. What I've done, and you can even do this by yourself because I've outlined the steps, I've just limited it, the search, to review articles to help narrow it down, this articles which really summarize the research. And as you start reading those abstracts, you can see that they're very well written, they're by experts, and there is just no agreement. So that's a problem you can see in Medline, even when you find a lot of material. Another question you have to ask yourself is, what if you find only one paper? First of all, there's a problem if you find only one paper. Question. If you find only one paper, does that mean that's the only information in the literature about that topic? Maybe, maybe not. Because again, Medline doesn't quite cover everything, and you can't search the full text of the papers. There may be a paper discussing your subject, it's just not searchable on Medline. But let's say you find only one paper. Look back at the sample record. I'm not going to really go into it in much detail. It's about nursing and dental caries. And it gives a kind of lukewarm endorsement to breastfeeding. Now let's say you were doing a search on this topic and that was the only paper you found. Would you trust it? Would you advise a nursing mother based only on that one paper? It's a difficult question. And I just want to emphasize again that we can never say for certain that a topic does not exist in the medical literature. Even if you do the most careful search and get nothing, it still might be there. Again, searching is imperfect. You're not searching everything that's there. You're not searching the text of the papers. Okay, I just want to go over to page 5 and talk a little bit about the basics of searching. Some of you may know this, but I just want to take a fairly simple search and show you how we phrase it and how we organize it to search in the database. Let's say you want to do a search on the role of colostrum in diarrhea. I've outlined it in this diagram, which is on the top of page 5. This oval on the left represents everything on colostrum. The oval on the right represents everything in Medline on diarrhea. And the way we phrase the search, we just look at the important concepts. The word role really is not descriptive, so we can just really forget about it. The concepts are colostrum and diarrhea. And that's how we phrase the search. When we enter it into Medline this way, it'll recover only the area where these two ovals overlap. Articles that talk about both of these topics. If you're interested in the technicalities of this, this is called Boolean searching. This is a Boolean AND. You may have seen that phrase.
And has to be capitalized?
Yes. I'll get to that when I actually talk about entering the search.
Again,
if you just came in, there are booklets here. So what the AND is doing here, the AND narrows the search. Instead of looking at everything on colostrum, everything on diarrhea, it only looks where there's an overlap. And if you think about it, the use of the word AND when you're searching is just the opposite of the word AND in common everyday English. In everyday English, you may say Jack and Jill and Tom and Jerry. It's all four of those people. It expands it. Here the AND narrows it. The next thing you may want to search on is a topic that has different ways of saying the same thing. Let's say you want to do a search on human milk. There are a lot of different ways to express this concept. Just one simple way is slightly archaic term, but people may still use it, is mother's milk. Either one is a valid way of saying the same thing. So that's what I've diagrammed on the bottom of page 5. One circle, the one oval represents human milk, the other represents mother's milk. The overlap are studies that would mention both of the terms. And you connect these with OR. OR expands the search. It takes anything in either of these ovals. So these are the two basic operators you use when searching, and to narrow it down, and OR to expand the search. Most of the time with OR, you're just putting the different synonyms together to make sure that you're searching all the different possible ways. And to carry this use of OR to the extreme, what I have at the bottom of page 5 are all the different ways, at least that I can think of saying breastfeeding. And it has breastfeeding as one word, breastfeeding as two words, breastfeed, breastfed, all the different variations. It includes terms for lactation. And to answer your question before, the OR and the ANDs have to be in uppercase, at least in this database. Now, sometimes people say, oh, I search, I don't put it in uppercase. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. It can really foul up the system. And even when on the opening screen, it says, put the AND and the ORs in uppercase. And just again, just to be technical again, you may have seen this term. Whenever you take all the different ways of saying something and look at this big comprehensive search statement, it's sometimes called a hedge. A couple of things about the words in this hedge. The first one is that sometimes the word breastfeeding is one word, sometimes it's two words, and sometimes it's hyphenated. In most databases, you don't have to put the hyphenated form in because hyphens are read as spaces. So just putting it as the two separate words is enough. The other thing you'll notice here is that some of these words have an asterisk at the end of them. This asterisk is called a wild card or a truncation symbol. It's a very useful feature when searching. What it does, it picks up all words starting with those letters. Most of the time, it's just simply the singular and the plural. But it can often really expand what you get in your search. There's a booklet over here. I think the best way to understand this wild card or truncation feature is just think of the word computer. If you do a search on computer, it's a perfectly valid word. You'll get a lot of material. But think of all the different words that start with those letters. Computer, computers, computerized, computerization. And they're all valid ways of searching the same concept. And you don't have to type all those variations in. You just have to type the word computer with this wild card symbol after it. Now, looking back at this hedge on breastfeeding, I just want to show a fairly simple application. Let's say you want to do a search on breastfeeding and osteoporosis. What you would do is you go back to the hedge at the bottom of page 5, take the terms that you think are appropriate. It will include most of them. I mean, you may not want to include the term milk bank. I don't know if that has a role in osteoporosis, but I guess there's no harm in leaving it in. Anyway, you take the terms from that hedge, and I'm toward the bottom of page 6 now, and you enclose them in parentheses. All those different synonyms, those different ways, connected with OR, enclose it in parentheses, then you say AND, but the other term you're interested in, osteoporosis. I mean, a simple way of doing the search would just say breastfeeding and osteoporosis. But then you're not taking advantage of all the different ways that breastfeeding could be said. And these are really the two most important principles. If you understand this search, you can really understand almost any kind of search. The important principles are taking your synonyms, connecting them with OR, putting it in parentheses. The technical term for that is nesting. Sometimes you may hear that. And the other feature is use of wildcards or truncation symbols. Those are the important ways to really expand your search and making sure that you're getting everything.
So, can I just say,
sure.
Instead of writing breastfeed and breastfeeding in your thing, you could just do breastfeeding with the symbol.
Okay, the reason why I have it, and we'll see an example later, if you put the wild card too early in the word, the system sometimes can't handle it. That's why, I mean, if the system can handle it, you can just say breastfeed with the wild card, but it doesn't take it. Mm-hmm. It'll tell you it couldn't search all the word endings. And that, you know, that's depends on the database. In Medline, this is what works. But if it could handle a lot more variation, just breastfeed would be enough. You wouldn't have to put breastfeeding and or breastfeed. Anyway, you would go to the PubMed search box. You would type it in just as you have it here. And as you type these long search statements, like this one, it will scroll off on the left-hand side of the screen. Don't worry about it. It's still there. It's recorded by the system. That you're not limited to just what shows in that little box. Now, one point when you are searching about breastfeeding, sometimes you are interested in a very specific aspect of it. And I just have some examples down here toward the bottom of page 7. And if you are interested in one of these very specific conditions, you're probably better off just searching on that particular phrase or word. You probably don't even need the breastfeeding hedge at all. Now, when it comes to searching, again, I'm trying to give you an outline of searching where it's as most as comprehensive as possible.
Presentation, it wasn't on that directory, but I do have the document.
Okay.
Can I do that one?
Yeah. Okay, while she's setting up the computer, I just want to just go back a little bit and just talk a little bit about the background of Medline, of the Medline database. It's just a little point of interest. Again, I said it started in the mid-1960s, and for many years, it was available as a product that you had to pay for. I mean, the National Library of Medicine has a mandate to make medical information available. But still, there were costs associated with it, and it was subsidized, but still you had to pay for every search. And starting just a couple of years ago, they made it free. They didn't really say why they did it. I'm only guessing in that when the World Wide Web became popular, a lot of people started mounting their own versions of Medline, which is perfectly allowable, because for years, the National Library of Medicine would lease their database to anybody, and there was some private database producers who would mount a kind of improved version, an easier to search version than the Medline version. Anyway, getting back, I'm on page, if you go down to page 7.
Go ahead.
Okay. Anyway, getting back to Medline, I don't really know why they suddenly made it available for free. I mean, it's a nice blessing. My guess is that these free sites may not have been reliable, or the people at Medline may have questioned the reliability of it. These big databases are not easy to mount and maintain and keep reliable. So probably when the National Library of Medicine saw their database being put up for free, they probably wanted to put up a more reliable version. Anyway, it's here and it's yours to use any time. Sure. I will get to that. Yes and no. I mean, that's the ultimate aim, and I'll get to that later. particularly when we're searching. You can always search fairly easily, title words and abstract words. But there are certain limitations and certain disadvantages when you're limiting your search just to searching title and abstract words. And a basic problem is that when you're searching titles and abstracts, it's what's called natural language. This is the language that people use. And you have to think of all the different ways that a concept can be expressed. And even if you're up to date on the current way that people search, people write their papers, a few years ago, the jargon and scientific language and styles change. How was the same concept expressed a couple of years ago? So it's a challenge to think of all the different ways. So you might miss something. That's one of the reasons I developed that breastfeeding hedge. It has a lot of the variations in it. But, yes?
Is there a way to type out that hedge once, have it somewhere where when you need to search midline, you can copy it?
Yeah, I'll talk about that later. There's a way to save the search.
Yes.
So you don't have to type it in each time, and every time you want to update it, you can do it. So the problem is that this natural language is not standardized. And here's where the index terms come to the rescue. And look back at page 2. You look at the sampler record toward the bottom, it says index terms. And they're also known in Medline, they're known as medical subject headings and just commonly known as MESH. People in the information field love acronyms and jargon and abbreviations. I came late in my career to the information field and I'm really can't get used to it. But MESH just means medical subject headings or index terms. Anyway, what the index terms do, they have two ways to expand the search over searching just the title and the abstract. One is that the language is standardized. Once you find the right term, that's it. And the other advantage is that these index terms are assigned based on what is in the entire paper. They just don't read the title and abstract and assign index terms. They read the whole paper and they bring out points which may not be in the abstract. In fact, every important part of the paper should be indexed as a MESH term. So it really pays to expand the search using a combination of what's called free text, the natural language and the title and abstract, along with the MESH terms. Now, one problem in using the MESH terms is that you don't know what they are. You can't always guess what the index term is. Very commonly, the index term is not the same term that people commonly use. But fortunately, there is a database to help you get the correct MESH term. If you go back, we're on page 9 now. Does this help? Can everybody see this, or is your booklet enough?
Yeah,
I think the booklet might be enough.
Okay.
You don't have to stay with me.
Okay.
If I have something, a particular page I want to get to, I can show later.
Great.
Okay, thanks. Anyway, thanks. Anyway, on page 9, if you look on the left-hand side of the screen, on the PubMed services, it says MESH database. So you would click on that. And just compare the look of the screen to the look on page 7. On page 7 at the top it says PubMed, because that's the default. When you first go in, you're ready to search. You click on PubMed databases, you're into the MESH database. Again, stands for medical subject headings. And let's just say you want to do a search on birth defects. You could just go into PubMed without doing anything, just type birth defects, and you will get a fair amount of articles. But it's always good to check to see what the MESH term is, just to cover yourself. So you go into the MESH database, and you type in birth defects, click on Go, and you get a list of terms. One of them says abnormalities. That's the term that Medline uses. So you can just make a little note of that. And the best way to search, then, in the complete way, birth defects is a fine term, so you can go back into PubMed, which you can do just by clicking at PubMed, which is in the top left of the screen, and your search would be birth defects or abnormalities. This way you've covered yourself. Yes?
If you're using a mesh term for your search, you don't have to tell it that it's the mesh term.
No, you don't.
So every time we put any string in, it's always searching the index.
Yeah, that's a good question. You don't have to say it's when you put a term that is a mesh term, you don't have to say so. In the old versions of Medline, you had to specify what was a mesh term, what was a title word. It was very awkward. In this particular version, they've made it a lot easier. When you type a term in, it searches all the different fields. It'll search the mesh terms, the title, and the abstract. And there are some more advanced features which I won't get into. If you just want to limit the search just to mesh terms, you can, but it's not really necessary. PubMed has been on a couple of years, and they keep on making it easier. So anyway, back in PubMed, you can type the search birth defects or abnormalities to get a more complete search. The other thing you can do is that there's a second level in this mesh database. Well, just before I get to that, right under number one, abnormalities, it says abnormality subheadings. I'll talk about that a little later. But again, you can see that the preferred mesh term for birth defects is abnormalities. Now, to get into the second level of this mesh database for even more information, abnormalities is a hot link. You can just click on it. And that's what you'll see on the next page. It shows the term abnormalities, and underneath it, it shows a huge list of specific abnormalities. And there are two reasons for looking at this. The first one is that you should go through the whole list because sometimes you may not be interested in searching all birth defects. Maybe you only want some of them, or just a particular one. And it organizes it very well together, all in one spot. Now, if you look at some of these terms under abnormalities, some of the specific ones, some will have a plus sign next to them. That means there are more specific terms underneath that particular term, like ectodermal dysplasia. If you clicked on that, you would see this list of specific terms under that. I think a good one to get to know the mesh database, I didn't show it on the screen because it's toward the bottom, under abnormalities is heart defects congenital. It will have a plus sign next to it. You click on that and you can get a complete listing of all the different congenital heart defects. So you can decide which ones you want to search on. And I think the best example of seeing the organization of the mesh database, in the mesh database, just type in heart disease or heart diseases, it doesn't matter, either one of those terms, and you'll get screen after screen of a very well organized list of all the different heart diseases. And it will really help you narrow down your search if you are interested in searching on that. Now remember, we're going into the mesh database really just to find the preferred mesh term. I mean, you can get kind of lost in here. It gets fairly complicated. But you're going in just to find what's the correct mesh term. And I think the easiest way to do the search is once you find the correct term, just make a note of it. Write it down, and you can actually write something down in pencil and paper. Everything doesn't have to be electronic. Then you go back into the PubMed search and just type in the term, you know, the natural language term or the mesh term as one phrase. Any questions about this? Now, the next thing is displaying your search results. Now, whenever you do any search in Medline, the results come out in chronological order. The most recent is first. Now, it's not strictly chronological. What it is, it's chronological in the order that they put these articles into the database. The big, important journals are indexed very quickly. They go in very soon. An obscure journal, there might be a year delay. So it's chronological pretty much, but not mostly.
They still index them by publication date at some level. Is that correct?
Yeah, they're indexed by publication date, and you can search on that.
You can
narrow it. Yeah. But most of the time, it's chronological enough. Let's say you just want the more recent literature, and you have 500 or 600 articles. You look at the first 100 or so, and you pretty much got it. But it is one of the limits. You can limit it specifically by publication date. Now, it will show these results in the default format that's listed here, which is called the summary format. It has the authors, the title, and a citation to the journal article. Now, in this particular search, this is on page 11, I did a search just on La Leche League. I just did this a few months ago. I got 25 articles. Now, does this mean that there are only 25 articles in Medline that mention La Leche League? Probably not, because this is only searching the titles and abstracts. There might be hundreds of articles that mention La Leche League in the text of the article, but I'm not searching it. Can't search it. See, you can't really tell how often La Leche League is mentioned in the medical literature. Anyway, this gave 25 articles, and it says items 1 of 20. The default shows only 20 articles at a time. And if you want to, you can change it. You'd look at these 20, then go to the next screen. But for convenience, you can display all the results at once, up to 500. On the line that says display, you see next to it, it says show 20. That's the default. If you click on that, you get different numbers, and you can set it to 500. What it means is that if your search has 500 or fewer answers, they will all display. If it has more than 500, only the first 500 will. This is a feature if you have a fast computer. You may want to use it all the time. If your computer is slow, and let's say you've gotten a few hundred articles and you've changed it to display them all, it could take some time before they all display. That's why they have these different numbers that you can show at any time. Now, in this particular format, the summary format, if you just click on the author's names, again, this is not in color, but these will be highlighted on the Medline screen. If you click on it, the abstract shows. Now, under display, if you click on the arrow next to summary, you will see a whole bunch of different formats, display formats. Most of them are very technical, very specific, and you don't need. I just want to point out two of them at this time. One is abstract. You click on abstract, it's exactly the same as just clicking on the author's name. It displays the citation with the abstract. And the other format is called citation. And this answers the previous question we had a few minutes ago. What if you want to see the medical subject headings? When you click on the format citation, it displays the abstract along with all the MeSH terms. And that's a very useful feature if the article does not have an abstract. Sometimes you want a little bit more information that's in the title, and you'll get all the index terms with it. Now, very often when you're doing a search, you'll get more answers than you can comfortably handle. And unless you like to read 1,000 or so abstracts, you may want some ways to limit the search and still keep it very relevant. And there are many different limits built into the system. And, okay, I'm at the top of page 13. Right below the search box is a button, Limits. And if you click on that, a pull-down screen will appear with a whole bunch of different limits. And one of them is under Publication Types. This is the search that I showed you a while ago on page 5, Salt and Stomach Cancer. You click on the arrow next to Publication Types, and one of the formats will be Review Articles. A review article, if you have a good one, it's a concise summary of the research literature. You can think of it as like being a very good book chapter. And you never know when there will be a good review article. Often when I'm doing a search, I will start out that way, because it's a lot easier to read a good review article than start looking through all the original literature. And you never know when there's going to be one there. Another limit is right under publication types is ages. If you're looking for a certain disease or something only in children or only in adolescents, it pulls down a whole bunch of different age ranges. And right next to ages is a box that says human or animal. If you clicked on that, again, the default is it takes all studies, human or animal, human studies or animal studies. If you clicked on that, one of the choices would be human only, the other would be animal only. And sometimes that's a very convenient limit if you're only looking for clinical studies, especially if you're doing a search using the word lactation. I find it brings up a huge number of animal studies. So it's a very useful limit, but you have to be very careful if you're using that human limit. Human or animal are index terms, which means they are assigned by people. People aren't perfect. Sometimes they make mistakes. I found that there are not too many, maybe 1 or 2 or 3% of the articles in Medline are clearly clinical studies, and they don't have the human index term next to it. So if you really want to be complete, I suggest not using the human. You just may miss something important. If you just want a survey of the literature, you know you don't quite need everything and you're getting a whole bunch of animal studies, then it's safe to use human. But be careful about using it. Another point, another limitation about these index terms. Again, they're a blessing because they bring out concepts which are not in the abstract and they bring it out in a standardized way. But again, they're assigned by people. And the principle of indexing is that in most databases, especially Medline, is that they are supposed to assign the most specific term available. If there is a paper on atrial fibrillation, that's a perfectly valid mesh term. It's supposed to be assigned the mesh term atrial fibrillation. Sometimes you will find a whole article on that topic indexed under the more general term arrhythmia. Again, it's people doing it, and sometimes they don't follow their own rules. So when you're looking at these mesh terms in the organization, sometimes you may want to use the more general term also just to cover yourself. Now, when it comes to searching, I'll emphasize this point again. If you really want to be complete, the best way to do the search is to search the title, the abstract, and the mesh terms. All the different ways. You want to take advantage of all the different access points. And to do this, I'm just going to do a sample search. This starts at the bottom of page 14. It's the presence of PCBs in breast milk. PCBs are polychlorinated biphenyls. They are widespread in the environment. For many years, they were used in fluorescent light ballasts. And if you're in a place where a fluorescent light fixture broke, smoke and fumes would start coming out. It was PCBs. They're also used in industrial transformers, and a lot of the waste was just dumped into rivers, especially the Hudson River in New York. And there's a big to-do about what to do about it. Should they leave them where they are? Should they dredge up the sediment? But they are widespread, and perhaps they're in breast milk also. So we go into Medline. And the very first thing I did was take this breastfeeding hedge. Again, I use all the different terms that are appropriate from that hedge to talk about breastfeeding or breast milk. And you enclose it in parentheses. The terms are separated by or. And for the second part, search on PCBs. You can just type in PCB or PCBs, but you're much better off going into the mesh database and see what the preferred term is for everything. It's worth the extra step. So I went into the mesh database, I typed in PCB, and it told me that the mesh term is polychlorinated biphenyls. So now, at the bottom of page 14, here's the complete search. Again, the other principle I want to use is PCB could be PCB or PCBs, singular, plural. to use the wild card. So the first part of the term is to use the breastfeeding hedge, and I say and PCB with the wild card or the mesh term, polychlorinated biphenyls. The OR expands the search. And at the top of page 15, you can see I got 465 articles. So there's quite a literature on it. And unfortunately, this printout is in black and white, but right above where it says display and show, it says wild card search for PCB asterisk. Use only the first 150 variations. Lengthen the root word to search for all endings. It just means it wasn't, the wild card wasn't able to search everything. There are limitations on the system. And this would be in bright pink on the full color screen. So even though you did the search right, the system couldn't handle it completely. So you don't, if it only got the first 150 variations, you don't know if it got the term you're looking for, PCBs. So you'd have to go back and do the search again, and instead of using PCB with the asterisk, you would have the term that I have toward the bottom, which is PCB. You actually spell out the different ways of doing it. PCB or PCBs or polychlorinated biphenyls. Then you know you're covering yourself and you have a more complete search. And you might even get more than the 465 that are listed here. But this search shows the size of the Medline database. I mean, this is probably something maybe you thought about once or twice. But did you expect hundreds of articles on this particular topic? Yes?
So when you're writing about this area, suppose you type the term breastfeeding and search for the mesh term.
Yes.
You get a screen where all the different terminologies are put.
Yeah, again, what you could do is I've done the work for you in this breastfeeding hedge. I've typed in all the different ways of saying breastfeeding or lactation or breast milk, and I've included it that in the hedge already. So you don't, if you're searching for breastfeeding,
it's automatically in the hedge, automatically onto the search too.
Well, I'll talk about that. There's a little bit of artificial intelligence in the database, and that's what I'll be talking about in a couple of minutes, where you don't have to enter all the terms. Sometimes it knows what you want. I'll be getting to that in a little while. Now, getting back to limiting, again, in this particular search, I mean, you could look through all 465, but a good way to limit it would just be click on limits and just go to review articles, unless you like reading a lot of literature. Now, there are still other ways to limit, because most of the times when you do a search, you're getting a lot more than you're comfortably able to handle. And this gets back to, remember, we searched on abnormalities, and one of the choices was abnormalities as a subheading. And just to show you what subheadings are, I'll just take another search. This will be on contraception. Again, you're approaching Medline for the first time. So on the left-hand side of the screen, you would click on Mesh Database, type in contraception, and then looking back to what we did on page 9 and 10. Remember, it's two steps there. Go into the mesh database, type your term. When it shows up, you click on it again to see more information about it. And that's what I've done with contraception here on page 15. You go into the mesh database, type in contraception. It appears on the screen. Click on the word itself to go to the second level of the mesh database. And this is what's on the top of page 16. Under contraception, it gives you a brief definition. And then it has a list of subheadings, different aspects of contraception. Now, these subheadings vary depending on the nature of the index term. It's not a standardized list. Like a drug or something or a disease will have a different list of subheadings. Not every subheading applies to every different mesh heading. But anyway, what you can do here, you can just check the different aspects that you want, if that's the kind of search you're looking for, if it's suitable for you at that time. And it even says what to do here. You just click the boxes that you're interested in. At the top of the screen, you would click the Send To button, and the next screen would be a button just to search it. Now, one thing about these headings, and here you can go back. Go back to page 10 under abnormalities. We see abnormalities and a whole bunch of specific terms next to it. Now, whenever you're searching on a term that has terms indented to the right or terms under it, more specific terms, you are searching by default that general term and all the specific terms under it. And sometimes that gives you a lot. The technical term for that is called exploding. And you may see that in some of the literature. So it's giving you a lot of information. Now, there are times when you may not want to search all those specific terms. You just want the general term itself. And there is a way to do that. If you look under subheadings, second box underneath it, it says, do not explode this term. Which is saying, that is, do not include the mesh terms found below this term in the mesh tree. Again, it's another technical term. The organization is called a tree. They love this jargon. Anyway, that's an option that if you do want to search just the term itself, click that box and it restricts the search. Another way to search is taking advantage of the different level of indexing. If you go back to page 2, for that sample article where I have all the index terms listed, you notice that some of them, and only a few of them, have an asterisk associated with it. These are what's called the major terms, the most important aspects. And it's a kind of a judgment call from the person doing the indexing, which ones are major terms and which ones are not. But it is a way to limit the search. If you're doing a search, especially if you don't need to see everything in the literature and you have a few hundred, you can check the box that says restrict to major topics only. Then you get the ones that really focus in on what you're looking at. Now, to answer your question before about what the database does for you and what you have to put in, there are a lot of people who search Medline, and they don't go through all this complicated thing. They just take their terms and just throw them in. They don't use any ors, they don't use any ands, they just put the terms in. And very often, or sometimes, you will get a search that gives you the results that you want. There is a little artificial intelligence built into Medline, which will often stick the ands and the ors in the right place. But I don't advise searching like that. It's kind of hit and miss because you don't know when that artificial intelligence is being applied and when it's not.
It's all bringing different results from the same searches.
Well, if you're consistent about the way you put it in, you'll always get the same results, but are you getting the complete results? It's not the best way to search. Yes?
This is backing up just a little bit.
Sure.
But if you get the mesh term and then the subheadings, so like contraception, let's say I don't really want to explode it, but I do want to search contraception, adverse effects, nursing, and trends. Can I just check those three boxes?
Yeah, you can check any number of boxes here. You can check subheadings and restrictive subheadings or do not explode.
So
you can check whatever boxes that you want to.
Okay, if I just check the subheading boxes, then do I have to check restrict or?
No, you don't have to, no.
Just those boxes?
Yeah, just those. Again, if you just want to take contraception both at this major focus level and the complete level, you can. You can also restrict it.
What I was trying to ask in that question was that suppose I want to search on breastfeeding and PCBs.
On what?
Breastfeeding and PCBs, polyclonal biotinides.
Well, that's the search that I had here.
The question is that when you write breast and some hedge term, or you want to, suppose you write breastfeeding and you want to know the mesh term for it.
Well, again, whenever you want to know the mesh term, the best thing to do is just go in, for every search that you're doing, go into the mesh database first, put the term in and see what it is.
But then suppose it types out six terms as in the mesh database.
Well, again, that's why I was showing the two levels of term, like the example with contraception and birth defects. Sure.
Suppose I'm typing out the term, say, breastfeeding, mm-hmm. and I want to know the mesh terms for it. different alternative terms which are used, or the mesh term which are used for it?
Well, generally for most mesh terms, there's only one term for it. But very often, and this is why there are the two levels. Like the example I showed on birth defects, you go into the mesh database, you type birth defects, and it says abnormalities. You click on abnormalities, it goes to the second level, which gives you the definition. And occasionally under these notes, it will give you some similar headings to use. Yeah, that's why it's organized with the definitions. And sometimes there are concepts like this lactation, breastfeeding, breast milk, human milk. They're related terms, but they are different from each other. Now, sometimes when you are going into the mesh database, sometimes it will give you a little note, see this term also. Sometimes it won't. It's always better to write out every single concept you have, even if they're similar to each other, and go into mesh and see if there are different terms for them. There's no general rule, because sometimes, especially if you're interested in alcohol and alcoholism, there are a whole bunch of terms, and you can't always tell how many there'll be in any specific topic. Another thing that's in the mesh database, again, if you start looking at it in more detail, is that there's a very big distinction between an organ and a disease of that organ. Like there'll be a whole series of what's called mesh trees, organized terms, on, let's say, the nervous system, the digestive system, just on those systems themselves. Diseases of those systems are completely different terms. So that's why you can see this, and when you start doing searching, always go into mesh first, and then you get a feel and you get to know the mesh database. Anyway, getting back to the artificial intelligence, again, sometimes it sticks the word and or in there for you, but don't rely on it. Another thing that's done is that sometimes it will, if you put in a common natural language term, it will know what you want. It will automatically search that term and the mesh term. If you look back at the hedge on page 5, well, first, let's say you want to search on human milk. You go into the mesh database and you type in human milk, it will tell you the mesh term is milk, comma, human. If you look back on page 5, I have the hedge of all different ways of saying breastfeeding or human milk. I don't have milk, comma, human in there. Because the one nice feature, again, this artificial intelligence is there some of the time, is that if you type in human milk, it will search human milk. It will also automatically search the term milk, comma, human. So it can save yourself some typing. Sometimes this feature is there. Sometimes it's not. You just don't know when it is or not. So if you've done a search on milk, comma, human, get a certain number, and then you say, oh, I should do milk, comma, human, or human milk. You get the same number. It means the system's done the work for you already. Another good example of showing this artificial intelligence, really what it is, it's automatically taking your term and mapping it to the correct mesh term and searching that also. If you do a search on heart attack, it will automatically search the phrase, as you wrote it, heart attack, and it will also include the term myocardial infarction, and you'll get over 80,000 documents. It's a big database, or I think it's something like 20, 25 million studies on it in total. Obviously, if you're doing a search like that, you'd have to end it with some aspect that you're looking for. Even limiting it to review articles will leave you in the thousands. So anyway, if you do the search, again, the artificial intelligence takes over, and you get a complete list of everything indexed on the myocardial infarction. But there's a little hitch here. The word heart attack is a very valid word, so is the word heart attacks. So you may want to do a search heart attack with the wild card, the asterisk. If you do that, you only get about 1,600 articles. What's going on here? The little catch here is that when you enter a phrase without an asterisk, it will automatically search the preferred phrase also. Heart attack will also search myocardial infarction. Once you put the asterisk there, it no longer has that artificial intelligence feature. It's taken away. So there you're searching only the term heart attack or heart attacks, which is not the term commonly used. Well, you'll get the articles where the authors used heart attack instead of myocardial infarction. Whether it's lay literature or not, it's again, it gets back to this whole issue of natural language, common language, what's the current trend, what language are authors using. So that's the one feature about this artificial intelligence. When you put the asterisk, you're not taking advantage of it. Now, when you are doing a search, many times you want to print or save what you see on the screen. The easiest way to do it is when you're scanning down the summary of articles, click on the author's names for an article you want to see. It displays the abstract, and you can just use the print icon on your browser. There are also more complicated ways, and on the screen there are little hints. There's a send to button, which is on the same line as the display button. You click on that, it'll give you instructions for saving the article. There's also a feature called the clipboard. Again, if you look back at the PubMed screen, just look at page 11, for example. On the same line as limits, there's clipboard. You click on that, it will give you instructions for saving citations during that session. Then you can save them, download them to a disk, or send them to email. There are all kinds of instructions that are right there. Well, I'll get to that later about saving your search.
The terms themselves.
Yeah, the terms themselves and the search. Okay, now you've done your Medline search, and sometimes there's just no substitute for getting hold of the whole journal paper. Now, the ultimate aim of Medline is to get as much of the world's journal literature mounted in full text on the database, fully searchable. And it's not close to being there yet. It's coming about in stages, and it may not be ever complete because there are certain publishers that just may not want to cooperate. Now, most journals these days are in electronic form, and most publishers are converting to electronic form, but there's no one universal database of full text of all papers. But there are some links to full text, and sometimes these are free. And when you're doing a search, it doesn't show up in the summary format, but whenever you're displaying the abstract of an article, if there is a link to the full text, it shows up there. And sometimes you will see these nice colorful boxes. And it would be nice if these links were all free. At this point, information isn't free. At this point, some societies do have a social conscience, and they're making their journals available for free online. The British Medical Journal is one really good example. It's a leading journal, so if you come across an article from the British Medical Journal and you display the abstract, there'll be a link to the free full text. It would be nice if all the publishers were like that. Other times you will see links, especially to some of the bigger publishers like Elsevier, which each year owns more and more of the scientific literature. They are not free. So if you see links from some of these commercial publishers, you just click on it, and a screen appears. Give them your credit card number, and you can display the article at a cost. Now, there are sometimes other ways to get hold of the full text. And one of them is a format they just introduced a few months ago, a very nice format. It's called the Link Out Format. I'm at the bottom of page 18 now. And under Display, if you click on the arrow next to it, one of the formats is Link Out. And here is the same sample article that I use on page 2 displayed in its Link Out format. And it shows a lot of different ways of getting hold of the full text. For example, it says EBSCO Full Text Online. This is a service that some libraries subscribe to. So if you're in a library that subscribes to EBSCO, you might have access to it. Generally, it's not full text access. At the bottom, it has the link to the publisher. And they probably charge for it. But right above it is a link to libraries. If you click on that, you may get a partial list of libraries that have that journal. And if there's one near you, you're lucky. Another way to display that link out format is right at the very top of the screen, not near the top, opposite the authors. You'll see this in the summary format in any format. Right opposite the authors, it says related articles and links. If you click on that links, you'll get the same link out format. So either you can display it, you can click display link out or just click on links. While we're talking about that links click, right next to it, it says related articles. What that is a way to slightly expand your search. When you click on related articles, you get articles that have similar wording to the article that's on the screen. There's a fairly complicated algorithm that's used to look for these word matching. And I don't like to rely on this related articles features to do a subject search. You're much better off trying to do the search as completely as possible. And then you can look at the related articles, but don't rely on it too much. Because most of the articles you get are kind of peripherally related. And sometimes that's an advantage. If it's peripherally related, it may expand your knowledge into some area you hadn't thought about. But it's always a second way of searching. The other way to search, the other way to find full text is that there are some sites that list a lot of free online medical journals. On the left-hand side of your PubMed screen, you can't quite see it here because it's a little bit below, but under related resources, one of the places you can click on is called PubMed Central. And this takes you to a site that has a listing of free medical journals. Now, most of the time, if the PubMed Central, if your journal article in Medline is available on PubMed Central, you should see the link right away. In fact, a new feature they put in just a few months ago. Well, if you look back on page 11 on the summary format, again, this isn't black and white, but the screen is more colorful. There's a little box next to each one of the articles in the summary format. If the article is available for free in PubMed Central, that box will have an orange stripe in it. So it tells you. Yeah, across, yeah. So that way you don't have to display the abstract to see if there's a link. Right there, you just click on it and you'll go right to the PubMed Central free article. This is on page 19 now, and right underneath PubMed Central, I've listed two other sites that have free medical journals. One is called freemedicaljournals.com, and the other one is called Highwire. It's a site at Stanford University. And under it is one related to PubMed Central. It's called BioMed Central. Now, the thing with the free medical journals and Highwire, they have a fair number of medical journals, but for some of them, they're not as generous as the British Medical Journal. They give free access to the articles, but not the current ones. Because, you know, they have to maintain their subscriptions. And they know that most people who subscribe to these journals need the current issues and want the current issues. So sometimes after a delay of 6 months or a year, they'll make the old files available. So they're partially available for free. Another way to get articles is a system that's set up by the National Library of Medicine, where you can get actual printed copies. Again, looking back at the PubMed screen under related resources, it doesn't show here because it's further down on the screen. There's a line that says order documents. And you click on that and you get to this whole system that's set up by the National Library of Medicine. It's called the Lonesome Doc Ordering System. Well, they like wordplay. PubMed, Lonesome Doc. In fact, they had a version of Medline an experimental version, which I took off because it really was a little too experimental and too different. It was called Grateful Med. For a while, they had Grateful Med along with PubMed, and fortunately, they stuck with the version, which I think is easier to use and more with a more traditional way of searching. Anyway, Lonesome Doc is a system set up by the National Library of Medicine. When you click on it, it'll give you all the information that's necessary. There are a network of regional medical libraries. Each one has slightly different policies, and you might be able to set up an account with one near you to get the articles you need. But all the information is on that website.
You would mail them, or you would have a password, and it would be
an
online.
Well, again, I think it depends on the individual regional medical library. You have to set up an account, and it might be, well, again, all the details would be there. But some of these libraries, you might be able to actually take your citation while it's on Medline and just click on it, go into your account and order the article. But it pays to see if it's available free first. But again, anything you need to know is right on that screen.
Average cost of buying a journal?
The average cost depends on the publisher. Though I was going to talk about the commercial document delivery services, which always have a base fee. It goes up over the years. It used to be $6, $7, $8, $9, $10. That's the base fee plus the royalty that a publisher may charge. And some publishers charge $30 or more per article.
So if you buy the journal article, it might be cheaper. Or not, the journal articles themselves.
Yeah, that's per article.
I mean, by the magazine, the whole.
It may be hard because most scientific journals you have to subscribe to with a yearly subscription. I mean, occasionally some publishers will sell individual issues, but usually not. And I think the individual issue would still cost more than one or two articles from it.
Another suggestion for how you can get an article sometimes is, like the Journal of Human Lactation, if you want a back issue for any of the articles, it would cost you, the last time I looked, $38. But if you contact the lead author, they may have purchased copies of just their article and then sell it to you. Like the one that I wrote, you can buy from me for $2.85 plus the number of stamps it takes me to get to you. So that would be a lot cheaper than you spending $38 on the back.
That's a good point about ordering articles from the original author. It used to be whenever when an author published an article in a journal, they would receive a certain number of reprints, 50 or 100, for free.
We don't get that anymore.
And most journal publishers stop that, and authors have to pay even if they want one reprint. Now, some authors still might get reprints, but it used to be in the past, the way you would get an article, especially in people who are in research, they'd have pre-printed postcards with their name and address on it, and they would just write the name of the article they wanted and the address of the author and just put it in the mail, and in a week or so, the article would come back.
Sure. If you were,
yes,
you don't own the rights to copy your article. That magazine owns the rights on your article.
Yeah, it's amazing what the laws in the U.S.
That's probably one of the reasons why publishers are much less reluctant to give out reprints. I published an article once, and they said, no, you can't get reprints. Did anybody ask you for reprints? Send them to us, and we'll help the publisher, and they'll sell it to them directly. So the whole system, which really worked, is much less prominent now. Anyway, another good site, which is really separate from Medline and PubMed, is a very easy and very clear database put together by the National Library of Medicine, which lists a lot of medical libraries. I think it probably lists all medical libraries in all 50 states. And this is what's toward the bottom of page 19. I mean, there might be a medical library, even a small one, that's near you. You can contact them to see if they have that journal. Because, again, journal articles are expensive.
And sometimes, I know in Austin, if you hold a city library card, you can take part of something that's called, I can't remember what it's called now, some sharing program so that you can get a card to use that UT at Austin, University of Texas at Austin libraries
And you can, in certain sections, you can check out books just like a student at that school could. Which is, there are some libraries where you're limited, like you can't go into the law library and check things out, but you can go in and read there. And so that can be a great resource if you're in a city or close to a city with a large university. They may have some of those sharing programs.
Yeah, it's always a good idea to investigate what arrangements are in your locality, because there is some degree of cooperation among libraries. Usually it's self-serving. I mean, in the New York City area, among all the college libraries, for example, is a system called Metro, where if you can't get hold of an article and the library has it, you can write out a Metro pass for a person who's in, among that college, and they can go to a participating library. It's cooperative because they want the same, they want to be able to come to your library also. And usually these things are kind of limited, because most university libraries will allow anybody to take out books or come in and use their journals for a fee. If you want to pay, some libraries, if you want to pay a couple hundred dollars a year, they'll let you be a member. So these limitations are there, but again, there is a degree of cooperation, and when you look at the price of medical journals, it pays to look around to see what's in your community.
Also think about if you live in the town where you went to college, alumnus often have library privileges. Mm-hmm. That you may have access to other, like I live in near Boston, and mm-hmm. I'm an alumna of Boston University, I actually have access to many of the university libraries in greater Boston.
Yes, it all depends on what arrangement your local university or college has, and they do vary.
Or the Alumni Association.
Yeah, and the thing with, if you are an alumni, then a lot of colleges let their alumni in to the libraries, and your journals don't circulate. So as long as you have library privileges, as long as they let you in, you have access, the same access to the journals that anybody else has. Now, there are ways to get articles commercially. In the past, most commercial document delivery services just had libraries as their patrons, but now some of them are allowing individuals to purchase articles. And I'm not endorsing these, I'm just mentioning these. There's one called Ingenta, it's ingenta.com. It used to be called Uncover. And for a fee, again, it's the basic fee plus any copyright fee or royalty fee that the publisher wants, they'll either send you an article by fax, or if it's an electronic journal, they'll let you view it. But again, you have to give them credit card information, or you have to set up an account with them. And there's another one. It's new. I haven't really looked at it yet. It's called infotrieve.com. But these are two places to look at. Now, I mentioned at the beginning that Medline covers most of the medical literature, but they don't include everything. And I'm on page 20 now, and I have four different journals and newsletters on breastfeeding listed here. And of these four, only the first one is covered in Medline. Now, sometimes you're curious, you'd like to know if is a publication included in Medline or is it not. And there's a very easy way to tell. Again, looking back at the PubMed screen, right near the mesh browser is the journal's database. You just have to click on that and type in the name of the journal, and it'll tell you whether it's there. Now, even if the journal is there, just look at it carefully, because some journals are covered, but there are gaps in the coverage. Sometimes these gaps are unexplainable. Like there'll be a 2 or 3 year gap, and then I'll get it again. But when the journals list it, they do list exactly what's covered and exactly what's not. Now, sometimes, since you're all interested in breastfeeding and you would like all the breastfeeding journals covered, you can actually lobby the National Library of Medicine to include something. On almost every screen that you're at, there's a button to click for input to the National Library of Medicine. And if you are interested, I've listed the two websites here which show the selection criteria and the processes for what journals are included or excluded from Medline. You can take a look at the policies. And if you are interested in seeing all the journals that are in Medline, it's several thousand. There's, well, I have the website listed here. Now, people were asking about saving searches. You know, do you have to go back and type the same search, especially if there's a long one like the ones I have here all the time? There's a feature called Cubby, and you'll see it on the screen. It's on the left-hand side under Services. Anyway, you click on that, and it gives you the instructions for saving your search, especially searches that you want to run periodically. Now, what about the old medical literature? The Medline database was made from a printed index called Index Medicus, which has been around in different names and different titles since the 1800s. It's not through different government organizations, but indexing of the medical literature has been around a while. And at this point, you know, the PubMed database goes back to 1966. From 1957 to 1965, there is a separate database of the medical literature. It's called Old Medline, and the URL is here. It's not as sophisticated as PubMed, but at least it's something. Now, one thing about the Medline database is that the overall look of PubMed is pretty much the same, but they do change things periodically. And one thing they changed fairly recently was the mesh database. It used to be called the mesh browser. It was quite different a few months ago. In fact, when I first put this booklet together, I put it together the way the mesh browser was, and then one day I went out and they changed it. So I had to revise all these different screens. You know, here it has these two levels. You go into the mesh database, you click on it, you have your term, you click on it again, and you get a second level. It was arranged quite differently in the past. So they are always making changes to it. And again, these changes are mostly improvements. And the mesh system, it's when you actually look at it, you can see how well organized it is. It's fairly logical, it's fairly simple. But it's hard to present easily on any kind of database, because it's so hierarchical and so organized. So look for changes from time to time. And the other thing you can do, if you notice, again, looking on the left-hand side of the PubMed screen, it says tutorial. You can always click on that, and you'll get a complete tutorial. It'll cover everything that I talked about today and a lot of other aspects of searching Medline. And I don't really mean to be criticizing the people at the National Library of Medicine, but the tutorial in some ways is a little hard to use because they try to be inclusive. They cover every aspect of searching. And when reading it, it's very hard to see what's important and what's not important. What features are there you may use once in a lifetime and what features you use every day. So by they're trying to be complete, it gets a little bit overwhelming, which is one of the reasons I made this booklet, because I try to focus on what's most important. Any questions? Go ahead.
So if we wanted to save the breastfeeding mesh database words that
yes.
Come up, while we ask the child, you do that through Cubby?
Yes, through Cubby, yes.
Okay.
Again, it'll it's menu-driven. It'll tell you exactly what to do.
You know there's a journal and it's not in...
Well, just a second. Also, another way to do it, if you don't want to use Cubby, what I've done is that you can type your search out. You can just keep it in Microsoft Word, cut and paste it right in the search box. Yeah. Yes?
Okay, so let's say I know that there's something in the current issues in clinical lactation that I want to find, but I don't know if they have a website. I don't know how to access them. How would I do that? But I do know because I've now checked that they're not in...
One thing you could do, again, I couldn't do all the different kind of searches here, but in the journal database, you can search on the journal. You can go and get the journal name, and you can search on the journal name and a certain topic. Or you can just search on the journal name itself, and you'll get all the articles from that journal. Because remember, look back at the sample record on page 2. I pointed out that every word on here is searchable, including the name of the journal. One thing they do use, and this is why you have to go into the journal database, is that it gets back from the old days of print where every space made a difference. They only use the abbreviated name of the journal, which is very frustrating.
Okay, but I'm also asking about journals that aren't in this database.
If they're not in this database, again, you always check to see if it is. If it's not in Medline, most journals are available electronically these days. So you can just go on Google or a search engine, put the title of the journal in and see if it shows up. Again, some of the smaller journals are not electronic yet, but at least they should have a website. And again, if you think a journal should be included in Medline, you can lobby for it.